The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
It's time for AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program called Where We Worship. This 30-minute show highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of their parishioners. Now here's your host, Bob Tayek.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. Well, today, as we weather this COVID-19 pandemic, we are more than ever keenly aware of our parishes and Catholic institutions and their importance in how we worship and develop our relationship with the Lord. Well, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as a place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope, and they are where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at the history, the ministries, and the people of St. Peter in Loudonville, Ashland County. It is the southernmost parish in the Diocese of Cleveland, and to familiarize you with the location, many might recognize Loudonville as a hub of the Mohican State Park area, the home of many canoe liveries and family entertainment venues along the Mohican River. And this is your host, Bob Tayek, and joining me on Where We Worship to look at the history and the vibrancy of St. Peter in Loudonville is Father Vince Hawk, the pastor. He's also the diocesan director of Newman Campus Ministries. And in order to respect the COVID-19 protocols, joining us via teleconference are Susie Henley Pisker, longtime parishioner at St. Peter's, and Joe Allerding, the lifelong parishioner. So, Father Vince, let's get started. And let's first talk about St. Peter Loudonville, the parish, I understand, celebrating its 150th anniversary.
Absolutely. We just kicked off our sesquicentennial celebration this past weekend. It didn't quite look like what we had planned initially, but we did celebrate with the weekend liturgies. And we also celebrated with the beginning with an adoration time to kind of pray the parish into this time. We're planning some year-long celebrations, although those have all been changed. One of the things that we're hoping to accomplish is to do some video montages of folks telling stories of the history of the parish, that we might be able to put that out on the internet and get that story out there. So yeah, it's a great time. The parish was founded in 1870. We picked this weekend to launch things because it's so close to the feast of St. Peter and Paul.
Oh, amen. And let's talk a little more about that history. So 1870, there was a lot going on in that area from a Catholic standpoint, even dating back to 1840s and so forth. But as the population began to develop and more Catholics came in, we're looking at what the St. Peter's, let's say its first mission church then was established 1870, roughly?
So the original church building would have had the cornerstone laid in 1871. So that would have been the initial building. There were two parishes that kind of preceded it, or church communities. One was called St. Anne's at Pine Run, and the other one was St. Michael's. So there are some predecessor churches there, but those did not seem to make it for whatever reason, and the parish was established in Loudonville. The first pastor first would have commuted on horseback from Mansfield, St. Peter in Mansfield, to St. Peter in Loudonville. But once the parish was up and running, I think probably around that cornerstone laying time, the pastor became a resident pastor. Mm-hmm. And so really from that time on, they've had a resident pastor.
Do you do any kind of ministry on horseback yourself anymore?
I've ridden a horse, but not too often.
Not too often. No, that's fine. I saw that the cornerstone for the present church laid in October of 1930. 1935. And it's a beautiful, you know, it's a small church, but we were reflecting on its style and so forth, that it is interesting in that there were churches in what we call the rural section of the Diocese of Cleveland, in the Ashland, Medina, Wayne area of those counties, where you had there's a certain style to the churches.
Sure. So certainly current building is in the English Gothic style, as far as the exterior goes. It would probably have a good German character on the inside of the church. It's affectionately known as the house that Koch built throughout the diocese. The Junker family would have had the bottling rights for Coca-Cola in central Ohio and Indiana, as I understand that. And they were big benefactors in helping to make that replacement building a possibility. In the mid-30s, it's the Depression. And there were probably about 36 families or so in the parish at the time. It's my understanding those families raised about $30,000 towards the church building, and the Junkers took care of the rest. It cost just over $100,000 to build the current church building back in the 1930s.
Boy, and that's quite a reflection on the community itself, the Catholic community, and their dedication and devotion to their church and to their faith.
Absolutely.
I mean, with that type of activity, because you're right, we bring it into perspective of we're in the heart of the Depression. And
sure.
My goodness, to take on a challenge like that. There's a lot of history as far as the number of pastors and so forth. And I happen to read there's a rich history of women religious even serving in St. Peter's, even though you've never really had a school per se.
It's very interesting. There was a building purchased to be the parish school. It's called the Haskell Academy. It was built in the 1840s. The parish does not own that anymore, but it was purchased in the early 1870s to be the parish school. Never had enough students to really make a school come to fruition, and that later became the rectory, and as I understand it, later the convent. It is, as I understand, the only parish in the diocese that didn't have a school, that did have a convent with resident religious women.
Do you recall, is that current today or in any way?
No.
But do you recall what were the ministries that those sisters participated in?
So as I understand, those ministries would have been ministries to homebound, certainly teaching religious education in the PSR or CCD classes in those days, and just other kind of pastoral ministry.
Very good. Well, coming up, we'll be talking to our other guests on the broadcast as St. Peter's in Loudonville, a very special place serving the community in a variety of ways, as we continue on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock. Listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio. This is your host, Bob Tayak. Our interview being conducted in studio, but also via special audio connection as we continue to observe the prudent communication practices during this COVID-19 pandemic. My guests from St. Peter's in Loudonville are the pastor, Father Vince Hawk, Susie Henley Pisker, longtime parishioner, and Joe Allerding, a lifelong parishioner. And let's jump in a little bit as we took a look at the history dating all the way back to 1870 for this particular parish in the Diocese of Cleveland. But Joe, let me turn to you. So you're a lifelong parishioner, so you go back a few decades, if you will. Tell me about your reflection on, really, as you see the parish, as it's been part of the community in Loudonville.
Well, my great-grandfather and his two brothers actually built the first church in 1871. So I'm the fourth generation at St. Peter. As far as when I was a young child, I remember the one thing I learned is you wore a hat in church and the women, or you didn't wear a hat in church and the women did. The
sure.
Women were not allowed to not have a hat on. And our pews still have the little flip thing for the men to hang their hats on.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that gives us some insight on how developed even our liturgies have become over a period of time. Susie, your recollections as far as what St. Peter's meant to you growing up, because I know you grew up in the community in Loudonville and, of course, attended St. Peter's.
Yes, I did. My fondest memories were just throughout my lifetime of attending church here at St. Peter's, because I was related to half the parish, and the other half of the parish adopted us as family as well, because it's a really close-knit family. And every time there was a wedding, a funeral, any time like that, we all got together to celebrate together as a parish family. And I also want to say that we really loved being involved in all the many activities that were available throughout the many years with the St. Peter Parish. And Joe and I are first cousins, so we share the same history with our ancestors.
You know, it's interesting. And Father, I'm going to turn to you because we were talking off mic about the dynamics of the parish. And that was going to be one of my questions. We're talking about a small town.
Yes.
We're talking about basically agriculture community for the most part, although Loudonville now is an entertainment complex community as well.
Certainly.
But the dynamics of the parish, as far as the people who attend, the numbers, there's something kind of special from what I can discern as we compare it even to other parishes in the diocese.
So certainly there are a number of families that we have represented here that are lifetime members. It seems that there may be some folks like Susie did who, you know, grew up, moved away, and have kind of retired and returned to the area. The other folks that we seem to get a lot of in Loudonville these days at St. Peter would be folks that have come and visited the area in their lifetime and found it to be beautiful, and they retire there. So it becomes another community of folks that have come together. Of course, during the year, during the summer, we do have an influx of visitors, or probably more accurate, seasonal visitors. So reverse snowbirds, right?
Right. But and that's interesting. And with that in mind, though, Father, you reflected for me that it appears that you have, at that parish, really observant, loyal, faith-filled Catholics. I mean, there are people that don't just show up on the major holy days or anything like that, that they're really participatory.
That's true. I did share with you just before off mic, my first Christmas there, I was able to figure out who was going to be there. I've celebrated the Vigil Mass on that first Christmas Eve. I saw who was there. I celebrated Midnight Mass, and I saw who was there. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, there's only 32 people left for Christmas morning. And there were 37 people in church. My mom was one of them and two friends of another parishioner. So I couldn't account for two people. I was able to recognize everyone. So that's certainly a unique perspective, I think, from any of the parishes that I've ever encountered, being able to know folks and have such dedication and firm commitment from all of them.
You know, Susie or Joe, that sounds like a real reflection on your own upbringing and how the faith was taught and in the community and how it was observed. I wondered if you could reflect on that for me, either Joe or Susie, as far as, you know, that part of your life growing up in that parish, the faith was, it sounded like it was very centered there.
My family was very active in the church and very active in the many organizations. And the wonderful thing is to see the contributions that all of the members of St. Peter Catholic Church have made, not only in our church and our parish, but also in the community at large. Mm. And the activities that the St. Peter's has offered and the camaraderie that all of the members have with each other is something I've never seen in other churches that I've attended.
Mm, that's interesting. And, you know, Joe, I'm thinking, too, that kind of development involves some pretty strong leadership, particularly from a pastor. Could you reflect for me on who you might have seen during your lifetime at St. Peter's in Loudonville as far as a pastor who made real significant contributions or helped continue that wonderful history?
I would say that when I was very young, the priest was Father Joseph Buescher.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the one that was in charge of the addition to the church. Plus, he liked to hunt and fish, so that was very interesting for me. But he went on to do well when he left Loudonville, too.
But that's interesting. So he really immersed himself in the community. I mean, he was a hunter, a fisherman, and all of that tied in with, of course, his own spiritual direction, right?
Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, coming up, St. Peter's Parish in Loudonville, Ashland County, and its focus on current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And our focus for this July 2020 broadcast is St. Peter's in Loudonville in Ashland County. I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are St. Peter Pastor Father Vince Hawk, and joining us from Loudonville via teleconference are Susie Henley-Pisker and Joe Allerding, as they have been lifelong and active members of the parish. Well, first, Father, as our lives have been turned upside down by this pandemic, I know the work of the parish has to continue, but how have you gone about doing so far? How's it going?
So far, it's going pretty well. I believe we've been able to maintain connections with people. We've moved to online masses very quickly as the pandemic came about. So within a day of kind of shutting down, we were up online and celebrating mass that way. Certainly a unique reality. But as we've begun to come out of that drastic measures of shutdown, we have moved to, weather permitting, our Saturday evening vigil mass outside so that we don't have a capacity issue because the capacity of church is rather limited with the given requirements. Sunday morning until this weekend, maybe next weekend it might be outside because we did kind of hit the capacity of the church this Sunday. I was able to get a new sound system for outsides. We might be able to move all of that outside. We'll see how that goes. But other ministries, religious education, we transitioned that to an at-home program. Our confirmation program transitioned to an online with Microsoft Teams, and we continued to have some of our adult education programs online. So many of the educational ministries continued. Some of the other ministries have moved in other ways. I'm on a board for our relationship with the Community Help Mission, which is one of our outreach programs amongst all of the churches in the community, both in Loudonville and Perrysville. And so, you know, that ministry continued with some adaptations and was part of kind of carrying that out.
Do you find in such a faith-filled place, and I get this feedback now from various discussions, that the observant Catholic really misses the Eucharist?
I would say that is certainly true. There are so many folks that as they've come up to communion, you know, you see tears in their eyes, especially those first times they were returning. And there was one person just celebrated her birthday, and she is in her 90s, came running up the aisle.
Really?
Actually, it's Susie's mom, right? So,
Susie.
So Susie's mom came running up the aisle, not waiting for the directions, or she was just on her way. It was very clear that she was hungry for that Eucharist.
Well, that's a great reflection, Susie, on your mom, right, as far as where her mindset was.
Yes, she's amazing, but she's so appreciative of everything that Father Vince has done to keep our church alive right now in the current pandemic.
Yeah, very good. I wanted to ask about, you talked about various ministries and so forth, and Susie, I know that one that you're involved in fact, you're the president of the St. Francis Xavier Mission Circle. Tell us about that ministry in Loudonville.
Okay, well, in 1947, Joe and I's grandmother, Gertrude Allerding, formed the St. Francis Xavier Mission Society at the St. Peter Parish. And I'm proud to say that this group still exists 73 years later today. We have one of our founding sisters, who's my mom, and she serves as a role model to what our mission group is all about. Each month, we have about 16 women that gather to work toward the common goal of promoting interest in mission endeavors, and to encourage spiritual and material assistance to missionaries both at home and abroad. And the thing about this group is they walk the walk. They set a great example for everyone in our group, and we welcome newcomers into our group, and we want them to feel welcomed, and we want them to feel that we value their thoughts and their ideas. And that doesn't happen often in a group that's 73 years old.
Right. No, you know, certain traditions will lock in, but it sounds like you've been really open to what other activities. And I'm curious, does that involve all the things that, well, what comes to mind for me is, you know, gathering goods that might be sent to, you know, mission parishes and things of that sort?
It does. When it first began, they did a lot of sending items to the Philippines. One time they sent some Jiffy Pop popcorn to a group of sisters, and along with other clothing items, and they wrote back and said, that was a very interesting breakfast we had this morning. Thank you very much for the popcorn. But currently what we're doing now is we're doing a lot of local ministry and a lot of local donations to various community projects, as well as our PSR class and our church renovation. But we still do send items to Father Badings Appalachian Center in Kentucky And we also send items to Tutwiler Clinic, which is in Mississippi. So we're still very involved in the sending of items. And we also make a lot of comforters that we donate to charity, roll bandages that we sent us to Central America. We're a real active ministry.
Boy, that is extraordinary. And I'm just thinking of that outreach. I mean, literally, as you said, walking the walk from Kentucky and Mississippi to South America. Just extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't hesitate, though, to ask a question of Father Vince here as we move towards closing. Not only are you running this wonderful, vibrant parish, but you're the Newman Campus Ministry Director or Head at Ashland University, as well as the Diocesan Director of Campus Ministry. How do you fold all of that into what you're doing, Father?
Well, some days I wonder, and some days it seems like I've spent more time in my car than I have at any one of those locations. But the great news is that I have a wonderful parish with lots of people that are engaged and involved, so it's a matter of just trying to help allow them to do the work. The same with the ministry at Ashland University as chaplain there. My role, the ministry has grown in my time there so that we now have a full-time campus minister there alongside of my ministry there. And so he really takes care of the day-to-day operations there and much of the action that is needed there. My role has become more of the spiritual kind of guide for, you know, celebrating Mass, doing some spiritual direction, celebrating sacraments there at Ashland University. And then as director, diocesan director of Newman Campus Ministry, I oversee and provide really the vision for the campus ministries across the diocese at all of our major four-year schools. But I really don't do the day-to-day operations. Joanne Remarczyk-Piotrowski, my assistant, does that work for me.
No, very good. Tell me from a perspective, you do a lot of reading, you hear about, you know, young people, millennials, et cetera, moving away from the church or even any spiritual direction or development. I'd love to get your perspective on what you see now coming, you know, at the university level from students.
Sure. What I see is a number of different things. I would certainly see those students that are not interested, but I also see a lot of students that are asking questions and they're looking for people there to be able to answer those questions. And then I also find a lot of very faith-filled, solid individuals who are all in for their faith. So there's really that spectrum of students, as I think everyone would really expect. You don't want to lump everybody into one category.
Sure.
But I would say that you would have those three big groups.
Well, it sounds like you have, though. You give us a little hope.
Absolutely. Right? You know, there's a lot of hope.
Very good. You've been listening to Where We Worship. And this is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Peter's in Loudonville, Ashland County. Where We Worship is a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspect of community worship and participation in our Catholic life, and is written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Chapter 2. Prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship, AM 1260 The Rock's newest locally produced program highlighting the rich histories and significance of Northeast Ohio's Catholic churches. If you missed any part of the show, listen to the program in its entirety on our website at am1260therock.com under the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.